Please take your hymnal and turn to number 97. Hymn number 97. We're going to sing a verse of this as the primary and junior departments prepare now for their ministry. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. Remain seated, please, as we sing.
Thank you.
Let's turn back, please, to number 97, and we'll sing the verse 3. As the Sunshine Choir, led by Mrs. Robinson, are going to come in now, and we so much appreciate the ministry of the children so far. It's a great encouragement to hear them sing and to give praise unto the Lord. Number 97, again, we'll just remain seated while we sing verse 3. Well, we would like to thank the boys and girls from the Sunshine Room who've been ministering to us tonight in song and in entertaining in another way, too. We enjoy having them in the service. It's so special. And how precious it is to see these little ones being taught the things of God from a young age. And we so thank the Lord for the teachers that are committed to teach them week by week and to just bring them up in these precious ways of the Lord. And we're very happy tonight to welcome Dr. Ewan Gallagher to our meeting. And he's certainly no stranger here to this congregation. And I want you boys and girls to listen very carefully tonight because he's going to come and bring a story that's just exactly for you. So I want to ask Dr. Gallagher if he would come now and you pay very close attention, boys and girls.
Wow, tough act to follow. Well, it's a very great privilege and a real honor to be invited to come and speak, especially to the boys and girls here tonight, and to tell you and to bring the Christmas message. And I've really been looking forward to this for a long time, and I want you to know that I thought you all sang beautifully. And this story is especially for you, but maybe we'll let the grown-ups listen in as well. What do you think? Should we let them listen in? Okay. So Christmas, of course, is a very exciting time. It's a wonderful time of year for many, many reasons. And one of those reasons is, of course, that we get together with our loved ones, our family, our friends, the people that we really care about, to have fun and to see one another and just to have a wonderful time celebrating Christmas together. We decorate our homes, we decorate our school, and even we decorate the church, and we sing special Christmas songs and music that especially to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But another reason that Christmas is an exciting time of year because it's the season of giving. And we get to go out and buy a special gift for that special someone in our life. Maybe it's your mommy or your daddy or your brother or sister, but you go out and you pick out a special gift and you wrap it all up and you give it to them and you just can't wait to see the look of excitement on their faces when they find out what they're going to get for Christmas. And if we're honest with ourselves, maybe part of it is that we're kind of excited to find out what we're going to get as well. And it's always a bit of anticipation involved. Now, why do we like giving gifts at Christmas so much? Well, I think there's probably a few reasons, but maybe one of the big reasons is that we want to show people that we love them. And when we pick out that special gift, like I said, and we go to them and we wrap it all up and write a little card, and in there we'll write, Merry Christmas, love, so-and-so, and then you give it to your mom or your dad or your sister, brother, what you're really trying to say is, I love you. You're special to me. I really care about you. And so that's, I think, the big reason why we give gifts at Christmas. Now, I'll have to be honest here. I'm a little older than most of you, and as a result, I've probably had a few more Christmases. In fact, for me this year, this is going to be Christmas number 28. Is that a lot of Christmases? Yeah, that's a lot of Christmases. And so I thought for tonight, I could I brought along my backpack, and in my backpack, I have a few of the gifts that I've given and received at Christmas over the years, and I thought I'd show them to you tonight. How does that sound? Kind of interesting? Okay, let's see. So let's see what I have here. Oh, this is a good one. A rollerblade, yeah. In fact, I have two of them. I think when I was 11 or 12, my parents got me a set of rollerblades for Christmas. Now, where I grew up, that's very exciting because in the winter, you got a little bit of snow and there's hardly any ice. So there's really nowhere to go skating unless you want to go to a rink. So if you want to play street hockey or go kind of skating, you have to have rollerblades. And so I was so excited to open up on Christmas morning a new pair of rollerblades and strap them on and race outside and tried playing street hockey with those. Rollerblades were very fun.
Now, what else do I have here? Let me see. Uh-oh.
This is something probably a lot of people get at Christmas. A pair of dress socks. Oh, have any of you guys ever gotten dress socks for Christmas yet? No? Not yet? I'm betting you probably will at some point. But you know, we should be thankful for all our gifts, no matter what they are, because, again, people are trying to show us that they love us. Now, oh, I have something else in my bag I want to show you. Let me see here. What do we have? Oh, a Bible. And I got this for Christmas from my parents when I was 14 years old. In fact, if you look inside the cover, it says, "To you and from Dad and Mom, Christmas 1995. 1995, that's a long time ago. Most of you weren't even born then. So yeah, this Bible is getting pretty old, isn't it? But when I first got it, it was beautiful and brand new. The leather was all shiny and black, and the binding was perfect, and the pages were all gold and gilted, and I could open it up, and there were this special kind of references that I could use to learn more about God's Word. And so that was a very exciting gift. And over the years, I've used it. But you know, a Bible is a wonderful gift at Christmas, because even though the outside gets old and used, the inside contains God's Word, and it never gets old. And in fact, God's Word is wonderful because it can speak to us and be new and fresh every day. It's a gift that keeps on giving. And so, in fact, as I was reading the Bible and thinking about what I was going to tell you about tonight, I came across a very special verse that I want to share with you. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 15. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says to the church at Corinth, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." God gave us a gift? That's right. Here in the Bible, it tells us that God gave us a gift, an unspeakable gift. Now, let me ask you, does anyone here know what gift the Apostle Paul is referring to? What was the gift that God has given us? What do you think? The Bible? Okay, that is one gift. I agree with you, but I'm not sure it's the gift that the Apostle Paul is saying here. Yeah? Very good. The Lord Jesus. And in fact, we could just ask the angels, and what would they say? They would say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so God's special gift to us is the gift of a Savior, Christ the Lord. And what is God telling us when he gives us a special gift? He's telling us that he loves us, that he cares for us, that we are special to him. In fact, if you go to 1 John chapter 4, it always takes longer when you're up at the front. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." So we can tell that God loves us because he gave us the gift of his own precious Son. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about this gift, he calls it an unspeakable gift. What does that mean? Does it mean that we should keep it a secret, kind of like gifts at Christmas, and you don't speak about it to anyone? Is that what he's talking about? You don't think so? I agree. Unspeakable means that it's wonderful. It's so good, it's beyond description. It's priceless. Its worth is beyond words. And I can't stand up here this evening and tell you and describe to you just how wonderful this gift is. It's beyond measure. It's unspeakable. And so that's exciting, because that means God gave us the very best gift we ever could have had at Christmas time. Now, what makes a gift unspeakably good? I think there's two things. And the first thing that tells me how good a gift is how much it costs. Okay, I'm not trying to put pressure on parents here. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying that a gift has to be really expensive to be good, but if someone gives you a gift that they've really had to sacrifice for, then that's an exciting gift, isn't it? I think I might have a gift, or there's something like that here in my bag that reminds me of just such a gift. Now, this might look like any old ordinary towel, but it's actually a towel that you might get at a hockey game. And it's one of those towels you see people waving on TV during the playoffs. Now, this is a Canucks towel, but it reminds me of a time when I got to go and see the Boston Bruins play. And it was my very first Christmas with visiting Rachel, my wife, and she decided she wanted to really impress me. And she bought tickets to take me to the Boston Bruins, which was the big hockey team in town. And when I got to the rink, I found out that the tickets had us sitting right in the very center of the rink, 10 rows up from the ice. I could see everything. It was unbelievable. The game was fast. The players were big and strong. And I'd never sat anywhere like that in a rink before, and I haven't sat anywhere like that again since. But it was a great time. But you know what? I think those tickets were probably really expensive. And I think she probably had to work like 4 or 5 days at work just to buy me those tickets. That was a sacrifice. So, just like that. Yeah. So the Lord Jesus, just like that, he was a sacrificial gift to us. Did you know that the Lord, when he was up in glory, he and the Father were perfectly happy. They had everything they needed, and the angels sat there and sang and worshiped them every day, and they were perfectly satisfied and overflowing with happiness. But then they looked down at the world. They looked down at the world and saw us, and they said, you know what? They need a Savior. And so the Lord Jesus descended out of heaven in all his glory to be born in a lowly little manger where the hay would have been itchy and not very comfortable and the animals would have smelled bad. And the Lord Jesus grew up in poverty. He had very little. He didn't have much money. He couldn't buy all the things that he wanted. And when the day came for him to begin his ministry walking around the countryside, people didn't like him at all. They thought he was an idiot. And they told him so. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Lord was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He suffered down here in this world. And one day, cruel men took him and put him up on a cross. And before they did that, they beat him and tortured him. And then they hung him on a cross. And he hung there and suffered. But that wasn't it. This was the worst of all. His own beloved Father looked down on him and then turned his face away and poured out his wrath on sin on his own beloved, only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus hung there and suffered. And the Bible tells us that the Lord lay upon him the iniquity of us all. That was the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for us. And so the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is a sacrificial gift. He made an amazing sacrifice to be our Savior, and that's how we know that he's an unspeakable gift. Now I have one more thing in my bag I want to show you. Because the other thing that makes a gift wonderful is when it's exactly what we need. Now, here I have a math book. A math book? Who wants to get a math book for Christmas? That's ridiculous. No, you don't. Parents, take note. Okay. You guys might be in for a bit of a surprise on Christmas morning now. But I once met a boy who, for him, the perfect gift was a math book. Let me tell you about him. 6 years ago, I was traveling in Africa. And I was biking down a road, and I saw something that I thought, oh, that's cool. And I got off to walk over and look at it and take some pictures. I can't remember what it was. But while I was taking the pictures, I looked back at my bike, and all of a sudden, a big herd of cattle came ripping around the corner, headed straight toward my bike. And I thought, my bike is finished. It's going to be a long walk home. And just in time, a young boy, maybe 10 or 11 years old, ran over and grabbed my bike and moved it out of the way. And I was like, whew, spared. But I was so happy, I walked over to him and I said, what's your name? And he told me his name. And then I said, thank you so much for saving my bike. What can I do for you? And he looked up at me with his big eyes. And he said, I'd like a math book. And I was shocked. A math book? Here's a 10-year-old boy. What on earth could he want with a math book? But you know what? When I looked at that little boy again, I realized what was going on. His shorts were torn. He had no shoes. His shirt was dirty. He was thin. He looked hungry. And he was in a sad, sorry state. His family was poor. And he had so many brothers and sisters that they couldn't afford to send all of them to school. So for him, a math book meant a possibility of hope. It meant the possibility of a better future. And if he studied hard and had the chance to finish school, maybe he could get a good job and his life could be better. So a math book was the perfect gift for him. Well, you know what? Just like that little boy, each one of us here is in a sorry, sad condition. And when God looks down on us, he sees us as sinners. People who've rejected his will, people who've disobeyed him, people who are not interested in loving him. And as a result, because of our sin, we are cut off from God. We can't be friends anymore with God. We're totally separated from him. And you know what? Because of our sin, we are condemned to die. And after we die, when God judges our lives and we're found to be wanting, he will condemn us to hell, where the burning fiery flames will torment us for eternity, which is only the just punishment for someone who rebels against a righteous and holy God. So we're in a sad condition, and we need the gift of a Savior. And when the Lord Jesus came down to earth and died on the cross, he made it possible for us to escape the wrath of God. And he restores us to fellowship with God. Have you ever heard the Lord Jesus called Emmanuel? Yeah? That means God with us. And so the Lord Jesus enabled us to be friends with God again. In fact, we're invited into the family of God. And the Bible tells us, behold what manner of love the Father has showed unto us, that we should be called the children of God. And one day, after we die, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will take us up into heaven with him to be with him forever in glory. And all our sorrow and tears will be wiped away, and we'll live in joy and happiness forevermore. That is the promise that the Lord gives to us when he sends us the gift of a Savior. You know, I wonder, how many of you boys and girls here realize that you need the gift of a Savior? Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect gift for you? So Christmas is a very exciting time. It's a time where we have joy being with our family, giving and receiving gifts. But I wonder this Christmas, have you received the very best gift of all? God's unspeakable gift. The gift that's so perfect because it's given with such sacrificial love. And it's given to us because it's exactly what we need. I wonder, have you received the best gift ever? Thank you very much for your attention, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gallagher, for that very good story and those applications. And I hope the boys and girls will be able to learn from them at this time. We're going to sing one more Christmas carol as the Sunshine Room departs, and then our Youth Fellowship Choir is going to come and sing for us. Please turn in your hymnal to number 97. Hymn number 97. Now the Youth Fellowship, a choir, is going to come and minister to us in song, and Luke Leland's going to read one portion of Scripture, and then following the youth choir, Dr. McClellan is just going to bring a final word.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Tonight has been a wonderful night. It's always to me a great joy and a blessing to hear the children singing and to hear them reciting the Word of God. It's good for all of us to hide the Word of God in our heart, and not only in our heart but in our mind as well. And tonight I'd like to say to the boys and girls, I think that every one of you, you sang like little angels tonight. Although I'm not sure whether your mothers and fathers would always see you in that light, but tonight you certainly sang very, very well. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about angels. They're real, but 300 times you read about them in the Bible. And when we remember angels, let us always remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to children, because Jesus said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." So boys and girls, you have angels that are watching over you, and we parents have to be careful how we deal with you, because your angels are before our Heavenly Father. Now at this time of the year, we are focusing on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also we're thinking a lot about the angels and their singing. And tonight I want just very briefly to remind you of three main occasions, when the angels, they sang. The first one is that the angels, they rejoiced in the birth of this world. God is our great creator and the sustainer of all things. And the Bible starts off, the very first verse is, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, tells us, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So the Bible tells us about the wonderful creation of God. And boys and girls and adults as well, keep your eyes open, because out in the world there are tremendous evidences of the presence and the power of Almighty God. In the most simple little creature, every blade of grass, every leaf in a tree, as the hymn says, "Heaven and nature sing." And the book of nature has never been wider open than it is today, because as man has unlocked the secrets of this amazing world, we learn more and more about what God has done. Now always remember that man is not making anything new. All man is doing is learning how to use what God has already made. And in creation, we have the wonderful evidences of the creative power and genius of the Lord our God. And when God brought this world, this amazing world, into existence, we are told in the book of Job that the morning stars, they sang together, and all the sons of God, they shouted for joy. And so as this world came into being, little wonder then that the angels of God, they sang at the birth of this world. The second thing is that the angels of God, they sang, as we well know, at the birth of the Savior. Now, it was a great miracle. In fact, I would consider it was the greatest miracle of all time, that Jesus Christ was born as a babe in Bethlehem. Because God is infinite, that means that there's no limitation to Him. God is infinite, He is eternal, He has no beginning and no ending, and He's unchangeable. And that God would come down from the splendor and glory of heaven, and the Lord Jesus would come down as God and inhabit a tiny body in Bethlehem. That is a miracle of the greatest proportions. And if the creation of this world was a miracle of the power of God, then the bringing forth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a miracle of the love of our God. Now His coming down into a fleshly form was a great mystery, because in 1 Timothy 3:16 we read, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest, or he was made clear, or he was revealed, or he's made known. God was manifest in the flesh. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a babe in Bethlehem. And it was that time that the angels of God, they appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So you got a great miracle, and you got a great mystery, the mystery of the incarnation, the fact that Jesus Christ became flesh. But you've also got a great misfortune, because the angels sang about peace and goodwill. And today, there's little peace in this world. This world is a world of wickedness and woe and of war. And I do hope that you'll remember the families of those soldiers of ours that were killed over this past 24 hours. The three in this last day, and three more last week. And the count gets bigger and bigger. And we need to pray much for the families of those, and pray for those who are still out there, that the Lord would defeat the enemy and would give victory, and that these may be protected. So there's little peace in this war-torn earth, and there's little goodwill as well. In fact, the television stations, the radio stations, many of them are geared to teaching people not to have goodwill toward one another, but to have ill will. In fact, they thrive on ill will. But the angel's message was peace on earth, a goodwill toward men. But the problem is that sin has entered into humanity. But there is a great message, the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because Paul tells it in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so the message at Christmas time is that while we're all sinners and deserving of the judgment of God, Jesus Christ came forth, born of a virgin, and he came to be the Savior of sinners. Little wonder, then, that the angels sang at the birth of our Savior. The third occasion is that angels, they sing at the new birth of a repentant or a saved sinner. Wonder of wonders. Listen to the words of the Word of God, because it tells us that when they sang at the birth of the Lord Jesus, they sang with great joy. And then you listen to the word where it says in Luke 15, "Likewise Jesus said, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now that word joy in that verse is exactly the same word joy from the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the angels came with great joy on the birth of Christ, so when one sinner, one single sinner comes to know the Lord, there is likewise great joy in heaven among the angelic host, because one sinner has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and repented from sin and turned to him. Now Christmas is almost upon us once more. The seasons, they pass with regularity. I had to smile there at Brother Ewan as he was telling us that he has lived for 28 Christmases. My, that's not very many. You and I can beat you. I've got 72 of them under my belt. And the seasons, they pass very quickly, one after another. The years roll on, and some of you here are still not saved. You're still not right with the Lord. And you've heard the gospel, and you have the intention in your heart that someday I'm going to get right with God. But up to this present moment in time, you're still in your sin, you're not saved, and you have never come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. My friend, why don't you tonight realize in face of the glorious Christmas message that you are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why don't you tonight tell him, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Repent of your sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him as your Savior this very day. And that would be the very happiest Christmas that you'd ever have. Far better than roller skates and the things that Ewan was telling us about. My, there's nothing to beat the unspeakable gift of the blessing of God's salvation. And so, you know, if you tonight, who are not saved and you're here, if you're not saved and this night you came to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we would be so very happy. And we have had this experience time and again as people that we have prayed for, we have long prayed for them, we have wept tears over them, and then they come to Christ. And our hearts are filled with the greatest of joy. But my friend, the joy that we have is nothing when compared to the joy of the angelic host in heaven, where over one sinner, not over a whole church full, not over the world, but over one sinner, one single sinner coming to God, it says there's joy in the presence of angels over the one sinner that comes to repentance. And so our happiness to see you come to Christ would be great, but nothing compared to the happiness in heaven, because they see that another sinner has been saved from the clutches of the devil and from hell. And the angels, they see that the work that Jesus Christ did was not in vain, because another one has come to know the Lord. Little wonder then that the angels sing when a single sinner is born again and comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It is our prayer that this Christmas will not pass into eternity until you have bowed the knee to Christ and asked Him to come in to save your soul, and you will have the happiest Christmas that you have ever had. May the Lord bless you and keep your eye on those angels rejoicing there in